You may remain seated. Grace to you from him who is our high priest, who mediates a new covenant in his blood, and peace to you in that blood, the blood which cleanses us from all sin. Amen. It was his last will and testament. The words Jesus spoke to his disciples that night expressed the will of a man about to die. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. The Greek word Jesus uses is diatheke. It's a word which could mean covenant, and yet it could also be translated testament. The word covenant can sometimes give us a misunderstanding because we might picture a contract that involves two parties. We might think this is some sort of two-sided agreement between God and us. And yet, it also is much better understood as a testament. It expresses a last will of someone who's about to die. The words Jesus spoke were that will of someone about to die, and it was a legal agreement, a commitment, a promise that was conditioned upon death. If you have ever been involved in a will, you know you don't get the inheritance until your father or whoever's involved in that dies. It's conditioned upon death. And until your father dies, it's only a promise. And if it's not even expressly stated, it's not even that. Jesus was expressly stating his will to convey an inheritance. Tonight we consider the blood of the covenant. We consider that one-sided testament given in the blood of God's Son as a last will, something conveyed and conditioned upon death. We turn to the sixth in our series, which deals with the blood of Christ in Hebrews chapter 9. Picking up at verse 15. And for this reason, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. This is the word of the Lord. God had made a covenant with the people. But that first covenant was a two-sided agreement. The covenant made at Mount Sinai was two-sided, and it was expressed in Exodus chapter 24, when Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has said, we will do." God's side of the agreement, it was a two-sided agreement involving both God and the people. God's side of the agreement was the priesthood, the promise to meet with his people and sanctify them so that they could worship him safely and receive his forgiveness and blessings. The other side involved the people. In the Ten Commandments, God commanded the people how they should live. In the civil laws and such, he gave the people instructions for how they should conduct their government. It was a two-sided agreement. And in fact, in many ways, we've been involved in the same sort of covenant. The Ten Commandments express God's will, a legal agreement for what is expected of us if we are to gain his inheritance. At first, we're confident. We say, all the words the Lord has said we will do. And yet what happens to Israel when the strain of sin takes hold of them? What happens when our Lord asks us to stay awake just 1 hour as he goes and prays? What happened to Peter? Just hours after the institution of the Lord's Supper, after Peter had declared his confidence, together with all the disciples, they snore. Our sinful flesh grows drowsy. It's a long day, and we come to church in the evening, and we're tired. It's hard to even pay attention. We're sinners, and we're bound to a sinful flesh that gets frustrated with this agreement we can never make good on. We can't hold up our end of the bargain. But God will hold up his. God will hold up his end of the bargain by giving the priesthood, by forgiving the people's sins through the promise of the Lamb of God who is to come. It's enacted with blood, and it shadows the death which is to come. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so Moses looks out over a sea of people. He's come down from the holy mountain, and he brings with him a scroll that contains all the stipulations for what it means to be God's people. He stands in the midst of that people and reads what's expected, and the people respond, all that the Lord has said we will do. It is a covenant, and it is sealed with sacrifice. A sacrifice is given. Moses builds an altar and offers oxen. He takes the blood and separates it so that he can sprinkle it on the altar, and he sprinkles it on the people, thereby bringing the people into God's presence and sanctifying them. This is the one time in all the history of the children of Israel when the blood is actually put on the people. I don't know how they did it exactly, but I can picture that blood being sprinkled with the hyssop branch on each and every family throughout the whole kingdom of Israel. God made them his priestly people. And Moses speaks, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you. Does that sound familiar? This is the blood of the covenant. However, when Jesus speaks these words, he brings them into fulfillment in a new and living way. Jesus didn't wait for us to pledge our obedience. In a new and one-sided agreement, Jesus did it all. In fact, he sits down with those who are about to betray him, deny him, fall asleep, and scatter and stray altogether, and he lifts the cup and speaks, this is my blood of the covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. For where there is a testament, there must by necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all when the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. It's the will of a man about to die. It's an inheritance that's conveyed upon death. To gain Christ's inheritance is to gain everything that belongs to him. All the things that are good and right and beautiful, the things we lack, he gives them to us. And he doesn't wait for our obedience. He bears the curse of our sins and pays the penalty of the covenant we've broken. And by his death and resurrection, he gives us his inheritance. How does it become ours? It's enacted upon death, and yet it becomes ours in the shedding of blood. Literally, the pouring out of blood. What does it mean to shed blood? It is not strictly the death. When Moses poured out the blood of the covenant, it wasn't strictly in the death of an animal. It was the application of the blood which sanctified the people. This is the blood of the covenant which is shed, which is poured out for you, meaning this is now the application of Christ's work in the supper tonight, where he applies the inheritance. He doesn't wait till your death. He brings it to you tonight. For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, meaning the benefits of his death are brought to you in communion tonight. Now, the establishment of eternal life with God today. Remission is to let go, to release, not just from the sins you've committed, but from the sins that have been committed against you. A release and freedom. It is to let the captive go free, so that you now are freed from the law, free from the two-sided agreement, to receive everything you need. You're moved by love. It is a Maundy Thursday, a commandment Thursday. And what is that commandment? That we would love one another. It is his last will. And the words Jesus speaks is the will of a man about to die. But they also express the will of a man about to live. This is a living memorial through which Jesus is ever present as our high priest, mediating the benefits of this eternal inheritance. The covenant is in his blood. Amen.